HiBridge Audio presents All There Is, Love Stories from StoryCorps, hosted by Dave Isay. Copyright StoryCorps 2011.
Hi, I'm Dave Isay, founder of StoryCorps. Welcome to All There Is, StoryCorps' collection of some of the greatest love stories we've ever recorded. The idea behind StoryCorps is simple. You come to one of our soundproof recording booths to interview someone you love. It could be your grandmother, a best friend, or your partner, anyone you want to honor by listening to their life story. For 40 minutes, you sit across from one another and ask the questions that matter most. Many people think about it like this. If these were my last 40 minutes with this person, what would I want to ask? And almost without fail, as the interview winds to a close, there's one thing that participants tell each other over and over again.
I love you.
I love you too.
I love you, honey.
I love you.
I love you too.
I love you so much.
StoryCorps makes two recordings of your interview. You go home with a broadcast quality CD, and a second copy goes to the American Folklife Center at the Library of Congress. We've recorded tens of thousands of interviews that speak to the enduring power of love. Over the next hour, you'll hear three different kinds of love stories. First, stories about those heady days of first meeting someone and falling in love. Second, memories of a great love that's been lost. And finally, stories of finding love unexpectedly after nearly giving up hope. We begin by falling in love. This love story began with a typo. In 2007, Rachel Salazar was living in Bangkok, Thailand. Ruben Salazar lived in Waco, Texas, but their email addresses were nearly identical.
I get to work. First thing I do is turn on my email, and I discovered this one. I didn't know who it was from.
My coworker sent you that email by mistake.
And I was like, here's another R.P. Salazar. Imagine that. And so I forwarded it. I wrote a little message. Hi, Rachel. It seems as if this message came to me instead of you. I'm in Waco, Texas, USA. Have a great day. P.S. How's the weather there in Bangkok?
I replied to you, weather in Bangkok is lovely. Gracias, Rachel.
So began a chain of emails.
The first couple of emails, you started describing yourself, and that kind of encouraged me to be open about myself, too.
I was excited that this person is halfway around the world. It's kind of like sending a letter in a bottle. I happened to hover my mouse over your name on one of those emails, and a picture of you popped up. I was like, wow, she's really beautiful. How can I make this picture bigger?
That brings us to our next group of stories, those about love lost. Andrea St. John and Kevin Broderick met in 2006 when they were both teaching in the same high school. Kevin was in recovery from Ewing sarcoma, a rare form of bone cancer. Kevin's brother Thomas brought Andrea to StoryCorps in Saranac Lake, New York, to talk about the early days of that relationship.
I think it took a little while for him to build up the courage to ask me to do something alone. We had a lot of seventh grade style dates, you know, where a lot of our mutual friends kind of met in one
place. Chaperones.
Yeah.
So you knew he had Ewing's.
Yeah.
Was that scary?
No. And not until when he went back for the checkup scans did I really think about cancer in his life or our lives. We were back at school when he got the call from his doctors, and being new to this, I walked into the faculty room and his eyes were red. And, you know, I hit go on the copier and I'm not paying attention. And then I turned around and said, are your eyes okay? And then as soon as I got the words out of my mouth, I realized, oh no. And he said, yeah, I think you should get your jacket. Maybe we'll go for a walk. And he told me what his doctors had told him, that the cancer was back. There's a spot in my thigh and in my ribs and in my pelvis. And he paused, and he said, the scans lit up like a Christmas tree. One morning, I woke up and got his tea ready and his breakfast ready and stuff and said, hey, I need your opinion on something. I want to wear this dress to your wake. And so I put it on, and I stood up on the bed, and I said, how do I look? And he started to cry. And I said, oh, God, I'm so sorry. I'll take it off. I didn't mean to upset you at all. And he said, no, it's just that you look so beautiful. I'm so glad I got to see you in that dress.
Ron and Pepper Miller started their conversation in 1986. They fell in love and got married, but it didn't work out.
I think in our marriage, it was all about you. You were the man, Mac Daddy, and
I got to a point where I didn't want it to be about you. I wanted it to be about me.
I thought you were spending a lot more time on your friends than you were with our marriage.
The divorce was amicable, but we went to the same church and you moved to the other side of the church.
I did.
I felt like giving you the finger several times. You dated people and I dated other people.
But, you know, I missed you.
Remember you called me and you had the flu.
Oh, yeah.
And I came and made you soup. I remember smelling your cologne, you know, after having to tuck you in.
Yeah, we started having lunch and I mentioned getting back together. But you said no and something happened.
It was one of my girlfriends that talked to me. She said, you know, Pepper, you are constantly comparing Ron to other people. The problem with this one, the problem with that one is that they are not Ron. So I hung up the phone and I called you and we started dating and it was good. And I remember I took my dad on a cruise. I opened my suitcase and there was this long letter from you asking me to marry you. It was very romantic. And that was in August. And then December, we were married, man.
Right. 8 years the first time. We were divorced 5 years. And December, it'll be 10 years we married again.